So monitored water contaminants under our Safe Drinking Water Act of 1974, which we, by the way, still follow now. It's looking for microorganisms. It's looking for like bacteria, viruses, fungi. It's looking for disinfectants. We're looking to cap some of these levels off. So there's these maximum contaminant levels that are managed for many of the things that are in our water, particularly benzene and atrazine and some of the fertilizers. But these are the groups of things that are monitored in terms of their classes through the wastewater treatment plants. Now, this is a shocker, and I hope people will hear. I'll repeat it twice. And I couldn't believe this when I heard this 9 years ago. Currently, the Safe Drinking Water Act of 1974 mandates the monitoring and regulation of 91 contaminants in public water. So earlier I said we have over 95,000 industrial chemicals that can and do get into our products, get into our worlds, our products, our fashion that gets washed down the, you know, the washing machine, down our sinks, but they're in our consumer world. And under the Safe Drinking Water Act of 1974, that still holds now, only 91 contaminants have a maximum contaminant level, MCL, that are monitored. And here's an example. If you wanted to go to the, you could look this up very easily. And this was just a screenshot of one of the pages that says what the contaminant is, what they consider safe in terms of maximum contaminant level. And so they'll monitor this whenever they're checking those sites, what these potential chemicals have in terms of their risk, if they go above, according to the EPA. And you can access this anytime you want. So really what we're saying is even in the last 50 years where we've had an enormous influx of environmental chemicals added to our world that get into our water, we still are not able to increase that from 91 to something higher. And so you get what you get basically with these MCLs. Now, to make it more clear, I wanted to show people what goes into what's in the water before a treatment plant potentially, and then what essentially comes out the other side, assuming that the water treatment plant does some cleaning of our water. And as I mentioned, you know, they want to get rid of and look for bacteria and stuff like that. Well, these are the things that go into the one side of the treatment plant potentially. And we're talking things like coal ash, which is the waste from coal plants, heavy metals, fracking chemicals, anything that's air in our air will potentially settle on surface waters that will make their way into the treatment plant. But you know, PFAS chemicals that we've heard a lot about, the nonstick chemicals, they don't break down. They end up in the water system from airports and fire training programs because they're usually in fire foam. And then of course, microplastics. So you can see a lot of stuff gets into our water before before it gets to the treatment plant. And then after it comes out, guess what? Most of it just comes out the other side. Plus the addition of detergents and chlorine and chlorinated chemicals that are added to that water to clean it so that we don't end up with major infections nationally. But we don't end up having, for most people, don't have a system to remove those added chlorinated chemicals, ammonia, and detergents and detergent breakdown chemicals before they get to our drinking glass. So they're added to the treatment centers and they're basically sent out the door. Now, well water is a different issue. It serves fewer people generally. About 44 million more or less will rely on private wells, and they are subject to their own regulation, but pretty much nothing. You're only required to test well water for a very limited number of contaminants before selling your home. Other than that, it's up to the homeowner or the school that uses that well, for instance. Many things can affect wells. Certainly flooding and natural disasters, which we're seeing more and more of. So these are the types of things, fertilizers, nitrates, nitrites from off, fertilizing operations, agricultural operations, will make its way into water. And then certainly that can get into wells, depending on how deep, shallow or deep those wells are. And they really are supposed to be checked at least once a year for some of the key contaminants that cause real human harm, like nitrates, which can cause something called blue baby syndrome. These are environmental training information that I never learned in medical school. So they're held to a different, worse standard in terms of it's a free for all, but they do get contaminated by a lot of things like radioactive substances that are, that form naturally in the earth's soil and in lower surfaces below. So contaminated wells, water, again, these are some of the contaminants that you can see in wells. Fracking chemicals make their way, you know, soil is like tissue paper and it can travel, chemicals can travel for miles and miles and miles. One of my favorite books ever is called Tom's River, especially as a New Jersey resident. Tom's River is the story of the Sebagaigi contamination of wells in South Jersey. And all of the increase in childhood cancers that were discovered from those wells. So I think if you want a good read this summer, it's won the Pulitzer for writing. It was just terrific. That's worth looking into. It's Tom's River by Dan Fagan. Anyway, so that was just one of those stories that just never left me and taught me about soil and how it really can have a far reach. And really opened my eyes. I grew up on a farm with a well, and we did not have a filter. So, you know, it's interesting to look back. Here we go. There's also legacy chemicals, of course, DDT, things that were banned, you know, 30, 40 years ago are still in our soil because of the way they were designed, those compounds with a lot of times halogens connected to them. Now, I wanted to talk about public water contamination. A lot of the times we don't think about our water until it makes the evening news. And it causes a lot of stir in one section of the country. And we think, oh, it's them, not us, because who really reads their water reports that are, you know, required once a year that you're entitled to have a report of your water system if you have municipal water. But I wanted to show different things that might have struck some memory to the people that in watching this. That it was really kind of, it's kind of one of those things that we don't do anything until we kind of see it on the news and then we start to panic and then we kind of forget.